We are studying together the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We have begun our series in the Old Testament, and then we'll work our way over into the New Testament. Now listen very carefully to how the Bible describes how it was written. The reason I'm going to point this passage out to you is because one of the evidences that the Bible is the Word of God is the fact that we have an Old Testament which gives us prophecies about what will happen in the New Testament. It tells us about the Messiah who will come and gives us details about him so that we will know when he comes who he is and that he is truly the Messiah. So the Bible actually explains how it was written, because we refer to it as the Word of God. You say, well, how could it be the Word of God if it was written by men? Here's the explanation. Listen carefully to how the New Testament describes this. I quote from 2 Peter. For no prophecy recorded in Scripture, the Old Testament, was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them true messages from God. That's what it means for those men to be inspired by the Holy Spirit and therefore to write the Scriptures for us. If this is indeed the Word of God, there should be evidence of it. One of the evidences is the prophecies concerning God sending His Son into the world to die on the cross and then the third day be resurrected from the grave. We have details about this in the Old Testament. For example, we know where the Messiah would be born. After all, the world's a big place. The prophet said, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little, you're a little town, yet out of you shall the Messiah come. He will be born at Bethlehem. Jesus was. The means of his birth. Isaiah the prophet said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, a miracle, an evidence of something. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That is a miracle. And you will call his name, the prophet said, Emmanuel, which means God with us. What better description of Jesus Christ could you have than that? He was born of the Virgin Mary, and he was God with us. More details, like the Old Testament says Jesus would be betrayed by a friend. Remember Judas? Who would have thought? One of his own disciples, whom they trusted. You say, how do you know they trusted him? All the disciples trusted Judas. You may have forgotten, they made him the treasurer of the disciples. But the Old Testament said, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, will lift up his heel against me. He would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. That was given in the Scriptures hundreds of years before it ever happened. And sure enough, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah the prophet tells us that. And we just studied Isaiah 53. No clearer description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah earlier said, of the Messiah. The Messiah would give his back to the smiters and his cheeks to those who would rip off his beard. They did. They would spit upon him and bring shame upon him. But here's my question for today. We understand all those details, but do you know that the Old Testament prophets told us exactly the year that Jesus would come into the world and be crucified? Hundreds of years before he ever came, the crucifixion was given in the Old Testament, and we are told when it would happen. The prophet tells us from a certain date, you count these number of years, and Jesus will be crucified. You say, I don't think I've ever been to that passage. Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, the prophet? Daniel the prophet, chapter 9. Now let me give you the context of chapter 9. You will, if you study anything about this, wherever you go, you will see that almost every scholar will say this is one of the most profound chapters in all of the Old Testament. Amazing, the information that Daniel is given by God concerning the crucifixion of Christ. The context. Jerusalem has been destroyed at the time Daniel's writing. The temple, where all the sacrifices which picture the crucifixion, is in ruins. The people have been taken into captivity. And it is a fair question. The people are saying, Daniel's saying, what happened to the promises to the Jewish people? Daniel was looking at his world situation and saying to himself, what in the world is going on? I don't understand. Where is God in all this? What happened to the promise that the Messiah would come? Before we look at these verses in chapter 9, remember that Daniel at this particular time was a government official. He was a leader of government. But by the way, the first thing we will notice is, yes, he's a busy man as the leader, a leader in the government, but he doesn't let his demanding schedule crowd out his daily devotions and meetings with God. Do you? I'll bet you've heard this. Look, I mean, I would read my Bible and study and have, but let me tell you, so I work two jobs. Then you're working too many jobs. If you don't have time for God every day, then your schedule is out of order. Your life is out of order. Daniel was a busy man, but you're going to see he took time for God. And so he opens the scrolls, the Bible, and starts to have his daily devotions. And he is shocked at what he sees and what he is told. Notice, if you will, Daniel chapter 9. So here's the question. This is where I got my sermon title. What happens when we open our Bibles and study? When Daniel opened the Old Testament scrolls and studied the scriptures, what did he find? Number one, he learned what was coming in the future. Verse 1, Daniel 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, here it comes, understood by, my Bible says books, it's scrolls, literally, I understood by the scrolls, those are Old Testament scrolls, the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel learned this. He said, I was reading the scrolls, and I was reading the prophet Jeremiah. Isn't that interesting that Daniel the prophet read the other prophets? They read the word of God that the others were given. And he says, I learned from the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, the number of years the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Okay, put your finger here. Where did he get that? Turn to Jeremiah 25. Here's what he's reading. Interesting, we got a copy of it too. So we're going to read what Daniel was reading. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 through 13. Now picture Daniel reading this. Jeremiah 25, 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That's what God told Jeremiah. Then it will come to pass, when the 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord. And I will make it a perpetual desolation. Verse 13. So I will bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it. Get this, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. Interesting. The captors are named. It'll be the Babylonians who will capture them. The length of the captivity is given. Jeremiah says God told him they'll be in captivity for 70 years. Interesting. Go back to Daniel 9. The first thing, when Daniel read the scrolls in his devotions, he learned what was coming in the future. That this desolation would be over in 70 years. Now he reads the scripture, and it causes him to humble himself before God. Verse 3, Daniel 9. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O God, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments, verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. What does he say? Oh God. Now I see why this has happened. Jerusalem's destroyed, the temple's destroyed, and the people are in captivity because of our sin against you. and then Daniel, in the midst of his devotions, sackcloth and ashes, that means he humbles himself. He has a broken heart and says, oh God, we've sinned, I've sinned, help me, God. When you have your devotions, God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and I will tell you, your devotions ought to humble you every day. And you ought to say to yourself, oh God, some of the things I did yesterday, or some of the things I'm, oh God, please have mercy on me and help me to be what I ought to be. That's why it's important for us to be in the Word of God every day, so that God humbles us. Wow. And he asked God for mercy. You saw that. He said, oh God of mercy. Don't forget, grace and mercy are bookends. Picture the bookends. Grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. In mercy, we say to God, please don't give us what we do deserve. That's what Daniel just said. Please don't give us what we deserve. And he humbles himself. And so, he learns. When we have our devotions and read the scripture, we learn what's coming in the future. It causes us to be broken before God. And then third, he sees that God did exactly what God said he would do. When you have your Bible study and you read God's word, you may be confused about your circumstances, but you know, when I read God's word, I say to myself, okay, there it is. God's doing just what he said he was going to do. You can't sin and not be suffering from it. God judges us. He deals with us. God does what he says he will do. You're in Daniel 9. Look at verse 12. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven, such as has never been done as what has been done in Jerusalem. He says God confirmed his words. He did just exactly what he said he would do. You've done what you warned us you would do, Lord. Never in history has there been a disaster like what has happened at Jerusalem to us and our people. But you did what you said you would do. You would bring judgment upon us if we sinned. Wow. And then fourth. Oh my goodness. Watch this. Drop down to verse 20. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer. Do you notice he repeated that? While I was praying, while I was speaking to God in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked to me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you, my Bible says skill, it's the word insight. I want to give you insight for you to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, in other words, when you first started having your devotions, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. In other words, what he just said there was, as soon as you started your devotions, God sent me to give you some information and some answers. I'm not saying he'll send an angel to you. I'm just saying this. You have your devotions, God will give you some answers. He'll send information to you through His Word. And then He says, verse 23, He says, at the beginning of your supplications, I've come to tell you, you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And here comes an important passage. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. For what? Now, I'm going to read this next part. And even if you've never read it before, and if you're not a Bible scholar, and you don't know that much about the Bible, I'm going to read this, and then you tell me what you think of. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon the people, and to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Therefore, know and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince will be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. Stop right there. Look, drop down to verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, I circled this, the Messiah will be cut off. Oh, there's the crucifixion. Do you remember I told you in the Old Testament? The crucifixion is described as Messiah being cut off. You couldn't have it any clearer than right there. You say, wait a minute, this is talking about the Messiah dying on the cross. Yes. He just told Daniel, he'll come and reign and rule someday, but first of all, he's going to die on the cross. And what will his purpose be? He will finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for those who are sinners. What is he saying? When Jesus died, he paid for our sins. He reconciles us to God. You have the crucifixion brought into view. Now, this next part we will pick up next week and develop it a little bit more. So I'm just going to touch on it. He says, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and then the Messiah will be cut off after 62 weeks. Okay. The word weeks, you say, well, that sounds like 7 days. The word weeks, this particular word, means a unit of seven, whatever that seven is. It could be 7 seconds, 7 minutes, 7 hours, 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 years, 7 centuries. It is a particular period of time. It's referring to seven-year periods of time. I'm going to show you why. Let me give you an illustration. If I said to you, I'd like for you to go to the store and get me a dozen. You would say, a dozen of what? That's the same idea in the language. He says 7 weeks. The word refers to seven of something. Here's how we know he's talking about a period of 7 years, not just 7 days. Look, if you will, at verse 2, Daniel 9. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. So he's not talking about weeks. Now, they translated it weeks. But you just have to understand That's not wrong. It's just to get the idea, it's a period of 7 years. What he just said here was, the Messiah, the Prince, is going to be cut off or crucified after 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 weeks, each week 7 years, that would be 49 years. 62 weeks would be 434 years. Would you believe, and you can go home and study this, we have just been told how many years it will be to the crucifixion of Christ. You say, but where's the starting point? Let me show you. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, that would be Jesus coming, when was that command given? It was given in 445 B.C. Now, no time to go into all the details, but let me just tell you this. He has just told us, counting from that particular date, and there have been some calendar changes, by the way, but from that date to the crucifixion is a certain number of years. Isn't it interesting? That's why in the first century, so many people were studying Scripture were kind of anticipating that maybe the Messiah is going to come here somewhere. This is where they would get it. So Daniel the prophet is telling us when the Messiah is going to come and be cut off or crucified. So the crucifixion is in the Old Testament. Let me wrap this up. What do we learn from this? When Daniel opened the Word of God, he got insight into what God was doing in the world and what he was going to do. When Daniel had his devotions, we learned that Bible study leads people to prayer. Did you notice he started studying the Word, and then what did he do? Basically got on his knees and started praying. When you study your Bible, it'll put you on your knees praying. We need to come to God with a humble heart. Biblical prayer begins and ends with a humility of heart as we see who we are before God. But whatever the sins of our past, God is a God of mercy who promises that we can have a future if we confess. Will be forgiven, and we need to take proper steps of restoration. I would say this. A church that wants Christians to pray must be a church that teaches Christians to love and understand their Bible. Amen. This church believes in the supremacy of the Word of God. Follow this book. How interesting that hundreds of years before Jesus came, the prophet was given information from Gabriel and from the Spirit of God of the year that Jesus Christ would come into the world and die on the cross. He died for you. Are you saved? Listen to what God said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, just like Daniel said, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You can go to heaven if you will receive the payment of God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Messiah who was cut off according to the prophecy of Daniel the prophet. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. It does humble us. It does cause us to be so grateful. Thank you thank you for giving us hope in this world, and most importantly, hope, assurance of heaven. Save that soul listening to this message, which may be closest to hell right now. Maybe they're going to die this week. Help them to come to faith in you so that they can go to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.